Hello, this is Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, March 12, 2020. In big letters on the front of the News Gazette, no fans allowed, coronavirus response. It's March sadness for many as NCAA Big Ten tournaments shut the doors. Illinois impact. Turns out Sunday Senior Day was the last chance for most fans to catch this Illini basketball team in person. On Wednesday evening, hours before the NBA suspended its season indefinitely, and hours after the NCAA's stunning announcement came the news from the Big Ten. The remaining 4 days of tournament games in Indianapolis will be played before only immediate family members of teams, staff, and media. There's a further story on A5 that we'll read. The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Illinois stands at 25, with 6 new positive tests announced Wednesday, 5 involving Chicago residents, a female in her 50s, 2 males in their 70s, and males in their 40s and 80s, and 1 male in his 50s from Lake County. And there's another story on A3 that we'll read. There are no confirmed cases in Champaign County at this time, CU Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride said during a virtual town hall Wednesday night on Facebook Live. However, she was quick to add, the lack of widespread testing due to strict federal guidelines means we are flying blind, but actively looking for alternatives. More from Pride today from 9 to 11 a.m. on WDWS 1400 a.m. Pride said she plans to meet today with Champaign County school superintendents about all issues surrounding the pandemic. Illinois State joined the U of I and a lengthy list of universities in announcing a shift to online classes, but with a twist. Rather than return Monday, ISU student spring break has been extended a week to March 23rd, when online instruction will begin, lasting through at least April 12th. When Parkland students return from break on March 23rd, it will be to mostly virtual classrooms. While lab and studio components of courses will continue to meet on campus, lecture components of all courses will move online and until at least April 3rd, President Tom Ramage said. Parkland's board meeting went on as scheduled Wednesday, with Mark Dixon, director of real estate for the Atkins Group, being named to Greg Knott's former seat. For those worried about the shortage of hand sanitizer, don't, Pride said. With proper scrubbing technique, plain soap works perfectly fine. The 7 Illini who qualified for next week's NCAA Wrestling Championships are in for an awkward experience. So popular is the event with fans, it was moved for the first time to an NFL stadium, with 66,655-seat home of the Minnesota Vikings, where only staff and limited family will now be let in to watch. Among the events called off Wednesday, Champaign County Community Coalition meeting, the Carl Illinois College of Medicine's March 28th Health Makeathon, and Champaign County's April 1st Innovation Celebration. Okay, this is a continuing story from that. U of I Athletics, from Indy to spring events, fans out of luck. Illinois men's basketball fans descending upon downtown Indianapolis likely would have numbered into the thousands come Friday afternoon. No more. Not after Wednesday night's announcement by the Big Ten Conference that starting Thursday, all Big Ten men's basketball tournament games won't have fans present at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in response to public health concerns about the coronavirus. The decision by the Big Ten happened 2 hours after NCAA President Mark Emmert announced Wednesday afternoon that no fans would attend any NCAA tournament basketball game because of the coronavirus outbreak. The Illini, 21-10, are slated to play at about 1:30 p.m. Friday in the Big Ten tournament quarterfinals against either Iowa or Minnesota. Minnesota opened the Big Ten tournament with fans in attendance on Wednesday night with a win against Northwestern in a first-round game. But starting with the first of 4 second-round games today, when No. 9 Michigan plays No. 8 Rutgers, and continuing through Sunday afternoon's championships, only student athletes, coaches, event staff, essential team, and conference staff, TV network partners, credentialed media, and immediate family members of the participating teams will be allowed inside the 20,000-seat venue in Indianapolis. The main priority of the Big Ten Conference is to ensure the safety of our student athletes, coaches, administrators, fans, and media as we continue to monitor all relevant information on the COVID-19 virus on a daily basis, the Big Ten said in a statement. The statement also said that all further Big Ten conferences, winter and spring sports competitions, including championship tournament events, will also be limited to student athletes, coaches, event staff, essential team, and conference staff, TV network partners, credentialed media, and immediate family members of the participating teams. The University of Illinois Athletic Department released an official statement Wednesday evening after the announcements by the NCAA and Big Ten. For obvious reasons, we regret today's decisions, which will have immediate and far-reaching implications for all people and partners involved in college athletics, and specifically Fighting Illini Athletics, the DIA release read. However, the health and safety of our student athletes and their families, our coaches and staff, and our fans and campus communities must always remain at the forefront of our decisions. Current events are unprecedented in our history. The situation remains fluid and is evolving by the day and the hour. We will provide additional information as it becomes available. The Big Ten will refund all tickets purchased for the men's basketball tournament, including from Wednesday's games. Fans should direct any refund inquiry to the original point of purchase, whether that be Ticketmaster, the U of I ticket office, or the Bankers Life Fieldhouse box office. More details will be provided at that time. Fans who bought NCAA championship event tickets directly from the U of I ticket office will be issued a refund using the same method of payment at the time of purchase. Events are changing very quickly, and all policies and decisions could be further amended at any time, the DIA statement said. The men's basketball team will likely receive a berth in the 68-team NCAA field when the brackets are revealed Sunday evening. Kyle Berry, executive chairman of the Orange Crush, said the Illini student section didn't have concrete plans to have a large presence at the Big Ten tournament, but plans were already underway to attend any NCAA tournament games. Berry said the idea was to distribute any tickets the Crush received for NCAA tournament games to the organization's executive board first, and then to students who attended either every home game this season or a vast majority of the home games. But Berry will likely have to be content with last Sunday's 78-76 win against Iowa at State Farm Center as the last time he'll see the Illini play in person as a U of I student. "I wasn't crushed, though," he said. "I knew going to an NCAA tournament game would be a privilege, and I know I'll have plenty of friends and family to watch with, no matter where the Illini end up." Okay, related story to the front page article, Illinois cancels legislative sessions. The Illinois State Capitol will be without members of the General Assembly next week after the legislature canceled its upcoming session Wednesday amid growing concerns of the spread of coronavirus. Given the recommendations for social distancing as a safeguard to slow the spread of this virus, the Illinois Senate is going to do its part, said Senate President Don Harmon. The legislature has been scheduled to return to the Capitol on Wednesday. It has now canceled sessions planned for March 18th, 19th, and 20th. There has been no decision on sessions scheduled beyond next week. The number of COVID-19 cases in Illinois is now at 25, state health officials said at a news conference Wednesday, including a third case from outside Cook County. "We are actively investigating these identified cases now," said Nosy Ezekiel, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. "We are investigating the travel histories, the exposures, trying to identify any close contacts." The new cases are a Lake County man in his 50s and five Cook County residents, a man in his 80s, two in their 70s, and one in his 40s, and a man in her 50s. Ezekiel said it is unclear if any of the new cases were from community spread. University of Illinois classes will be online after spring break ends. With the coronavirus outbreak now officially a pandemic, the University of Illinois announced late Wednesday that its courses will move online after students return from spring break. Classes on the Urbana campus will continue as usual today and Friday, but beginning March 23rd, face-to-face courses will be canceled, Chancellor Robert Jones and Provost Andreas Kangalaris announced. Beginning as soon as possible after that date, most courses will be taught online or via alternative delivery approaches, they wrote. Students are encouraged to consider staying at their permanent home. Students may register by Friday to stay in certain dorms over spring break as usual. After that, they'll be allowed to return to their residence halls. The U of I encouraged students leaving campus for break to make sure you have whatever computers and course materials you will need to continue with your courses remotely. In a separate mass mail sent earlier Wednesday, the U of I system announced that online teaching will continue until further notice, but our expectation is that it will be temporary and students will be updated regularly via email and updates on system and university websites. The U of I's move followed similar announcements from fellow Big Ten schools, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The proactive policies are focused squarely on doing our part to help curb the virus, U of I administrators wrote. Fortunately, there have been no confirmed cases among our faculty, staff, and students. But such cases have been increasing in Illinois, and our experts say early intervention is the best option to limit the spread. Research will continue to be conducted by faculty and staff on campus, the U of I said. Human resources offices will provide guidance for work conditions that foster safety and for employees who suspect exposure or infection and must self-quarantine, U of I system officials wrote. The U of I also announced that beginning Friday, it is suspending events with more than 50 attendees that are university-sponsored or hosted by registered student organizations. Such events may instead be live-streamed or postponed, they said, adding technology services is increasing its capacity to support the necessary digital platforms and additional internet traffic. The Engineering and ACES open houses, Siblings Weekend, and Moms Weekend have already been called off, and the university has not yet decided whether May's commencement ceremonies will be held. The U of I is also prohibiting university-sponsored international travel, an announcement that coincided with President Donald Trump's 30-day ban on travel from Europe, as well as non-essential domestic travel for the time being. Personal international travel is strongly discouraged, and we urge caution and the exercise of good judgment for personal domestic travel, U of I officials said. Jones and Kangalaris said the campus has been planning for the coronavirus for several weeks to be prepared for this extraordinary situation. We know the uncertainty of this situation is challenging for everyone in different ways, they wrote. We have focused on what this decision will mean to you, and we are taking measures to mitigate the potential impact. Our goal is that you will be able to focus on your studies, your work, your wellness, and your life, and we will provide the support and resources to protect you and our entire community. And we have Bob Asmussen's column, a bummer for all fans, including this one. I've got tickets to the NCAA tournament next Thursday in St. Louis. Good seats in the 100 level. I've been looking forward to it for months, actually for years. Starting in 2008, my son Hank and I have gone to the tournament every year, usually at a Midwest site. Milwaukee, Detroit, Chicago, Des Moines, Indianapolis. You name the city and we have probably been there. First time we went to the tournament was in Omaha, Nebraska. I found ridiculously cheap seats on eBay that were next to a team entrance. Hank, then 7, got a kick out of seeing the players up close. It was wall-to-wall ball. 4 games the first round, a day off, watched it on TV from other sites naturally, followed by 2 more games. We ate pizza and nachos. We bought souvenir t-shirts and mini basketballs. It became our spring ritual, one I wouldn't let even a major illness stop. In 2013, days before open heart surgery, I got permission from my doctor to attend the tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. The games were a blast. The surgery, not so much. In 2016, we had tickets for the tournament in St. Louis. A week or so before the games, I was hospitalized in St. Louis for a minor, albeit slow, healing issue. I pestered my doctor to let me out in time for the games. I must have worn him down because he allowed me to go. I zipped over to Enterprise Center and didn't miss a basket. Hank is 19 now, a sophomore in college. We plan to leave next Wednesday night for the short drive to St. Louis. We still might go, but not for the games. Our streak in the stands ends at 12. COVID-19 is the culprit. On Wednesday, NCAA President Mark Emmert announced the decision to play the NCAA tournament games without fans. Only essential personnel and family members will be allowed to watch. Emmert's statement included, "While I understand how disappointing this is for all fans of our sports, my decision is based on the current understanding of how COVID-19 is progressing in the United States. This decision is in the best interest of public health, including that of coaches, administrators, fans, and most importantly, our student athletes. We recognize the opportunity to compete in an NCAA national championship is an experience of a lifetime for students and their families. Today, we will move forward and conduct championships consistent with the current information and will continue to monitor and make adjustments as needed. The decision makes a lot of sense. Health over basketball is a no-brainer. But I have to admit, my heart sank when I heard the news. I figured an altered format was possible, but hoped for the best. It's a bummer for all basketball fans, locally and across the nation. Illinois will make the NCAA tournament field for the first time since 2013. The team would have had a large following, especially if it was assigned a nearby city like St. Louis or Cleveland. No need to gas up the car or look for plane tickets. You are going to be able to watch the games, just not in person. Get ready for the weirdest U.S. sporting event ever. Important games between terrific teams with a smattering of applause. It will be like the hush before the Tiger Woods gets ready to putt, only without the roar after he sinks it. The Big Ten Conference followed the NCAA's lead. On Wednesday, it announced league tournament games starting today will be fan-less. That was another blow to an Illinois fandom ready to make the short drive to Indianapolis. The two preliminary games Wednesday were played with fans. Northwestern Minnesota and Indiana-Nebraska drew smaller crowds. Senior living. Nursing homes checking those who enter facilities. Some voting sites moved. As women sat around, needles in hand, during the crochet club at Stevic Senior Citizen Center on Wednesday, they discussed the day's news like they usually do. And while the worldwide spread of COVID-19 came up, it wasn't with panic or even personal concern. It was simply spoken about as news of the day. The same went for the men's coffee club the next morning. Aside from a few elbow bumps replacing handshakes, not much was different than normal. I hear them talking about using more Purell, and they're taking precautions, but they haven't stopped going anywhere yet. Director Karen Kramer said, they don't seem all that concerned. They talk about it, of course, because it's in the news, and I haven't seen anybody say it's taken out of proportion. Some senior living facilities across the area, though, are taking measures to protect residents who are highly vulnerable to complications stemming from the virus compared to the rest of the population. Among over 44,000 cases of the disease in China as of February 11th, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the fatality rate was 14.8% for those over 80, 8% for those 70 to 79, and 3.6% for those 60 to 69. While there have been no confirmed cases of the disease in Champaign County, the goal among some area senior living facilities is to head off the spread. Current CDC guidelines tell long-term care facilities to post signs at the entrance to inform visitors of symptoms, ensure sick policies for employees, and assess symptoms of residents admitted. Under 18, for time being, stay away from facility. While several facilities refer to these guidelines when speaking about their policies, they can mean different things. For Clark Lindsay, that meant all outside community events that happen at the Urbana facility, including groups and clubs that meet there. Clark Lindsay is also asking for visitors under 18 to stay away for the time being. Stop signs greet visitors with information about symptoms and hygiene. Those who do enter are asked to answer a questionnaire with symptoms. If they answer yes to any of the questions, they're asked to leave. Finally, before they they're allowed past the entrance, they're asked to wash their hands in front of an attendant. Employees are also screened to have their temperatures taken upon entering the facility. We want to keep the population here at Clark Lindsay and the older population in Champaign-Urbana as healthy as possible. So that's why we're not only doing this inside our walls, but we're also doing it externally as well, Clark Lindsay Marketing Director Karen Balzer said, because the population that we serve is most at risk. Enhanced cleaning schedules in Savoy. Last Friday, Hawthorne Inn in Danville began limiting those entering the facility to essential visitors, which included family caretakers and hospice nurses, Regional Director Lisa Miller said. At Windsor of Savoy, residents are simply being reminded of good health habits, including proper hand washing technique, and to carefully consider traveling or going to large gatherings, spokesman Aaron Seidlitz said. The facility is enhancing cleaning schedules for apartments, common areas, and transport buses, Seidlitz said, and providing in-room meal delivery service to sick residents. People with symptoms of respiratory illnesses are asked not to visit. Outside events at the facility are still going on as planned. Retirement homes in Champaign County will no longer be used as polling places in Tuesday's primary. Voters who would have gone to Clark Lindsay will be moved to St. Matthew's Lutheran Church. Voters at Glenwood and Mahomet will go to Elks Pavilion at Lake of the Woods Park. And those assigned to Eagleview Retirement Home in Rantoul will vote at the gathering place, County Clerk Aaron Amon said. It changes every day. It changes so quickly. It could be just the beginning of restrictions for area retirement homes. At Clark Lindsay, Balzer said she could see a day when visitors aren't allowed and residents won't be able to exit. It could definitely come to that point, she said. It changes every day. It changes so quickly. I just think we have to be flexible and adjust as the information comes in. We're really monitoring the CDC and the Illinois Department of Public Health and going on their recommendations. For now, some residents are beginning to hunker down for what could be a lengthy period of time. At least at this point, they seem to be fine with it. Hawthorne Inn residents don't seem affected by it at all, kind of like when you have a snowstorm, Miller said. I've been with this company for 20 years, so I've been through plenty of snowstorms where you have to just buckle down and have plenty of activities and games going on, and it's a little bit more relaxed atmosphere. But I'm sure if it's going to continue, it's going to get a little bit more difficult because snowstorms take a day or two. CU Public Health District website, relaying information a challenge after hack. In the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's website has been hacked. The timing is horrible, Administrator Julie Pride said Wednesday. The health district will be working with local governments to help push out vital information about the virus that causes COVID-19 on alternate websites and is urging the public to stay up to date on daily developments on the health district's Facebook page, she said. The district's website was attacked by a newish ransomware called NetWalker, Pride said. Ransomware is a malicious software that locks people out of their own computers. Victims generally receive a ransom demand for their encryption key to regain access to their data, according to Matt Deem, a customer service representative at Simplified Computers of Champaign. NetWalker hides in an essential Windows function to evade antivirus detection, he said. Health district employees became aware of the ransomware attack Tuesday when they lost access to files, Pride said. The district immediately notified the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security and is working with a consulting firm to investigate what happened and restore the website. Pride said she hopes to have it back up and running within a week. What remains safe and available are the health district's email accounts, environmental health records, and patient electronic medical records, all of which were moved to cloud storage 6 months ago, according to Pride. The district also has secure Wi-Fi, and staff members are currently using their laptops to work, she said. While files are unavailable for now, Pride said much of the information the health district needs is available through shared emails and other sources. The public needs to know it's being taken care of and we're still functioning, she said. In addition to working with Kroll, a global risk consulting service, Pride said the University of Illinois has also offered assistance. John Bambanek, a local cybersecurity expert, said the health district falls into a must-operate category. There are few companies that must always operate, he said. Public health districts in the midst of a pandemic is one of them. Bambanek cautioned against relying on Facebook to circulate public health information. Anyone could steal the health director's logo and set up a fake page to circulate misinformation, he said. Pride said the health district's Facebook page gets substantially more traffic than its website, and in fact has picked up 1,500 new likes in the last 28 days. She also said older adults don't tend to look for information on the website, instead typically calling or emailing. Several staff members are monitoring a health district's dedicated email for COVID-19 inquiries, coronavirus@cuphd.org, and responding quickly. Pride said the district has also set up a coronavirus hotline at 217-239-7877. Ex-professor ordered to repay almost $15,000 in phony travel reimbursements. A former member of the University of Illinois faculty, who admitted he stole travel reimbursement money from the U of I, has been ordered to repay almost $15,000 as a condition of his probation. Waitat Fu, 48, of Mahomet, pleaded guilty Wednesday before Champaign County Judge Roger Weber to theft over $10,000, admitting that between November 2016 and September 2018, he engaged in several transactions in which he obtained money from the U of I to which he was not entitled. Assistant State's Attorney Joel Fletcher said Fu, an associate professor of computer science, traveled for work to conferences. In that time period, he asked for reimbursement from the U of I for more than the cost of travel or for travel that had been paid for by the conference host. Fletcher said the theft was discovered by employees in the U of I's audit division who reviewed documentation submitted by Wu to justify his reimbursement claims. Though the documentation was supposedly computer-generated, it had obvious typos, misspellings, and inconsistencies in font and format that tipped them off that something was amiss, Fletcher said. Fletcher said there were 14 fraudulent reimbursement forms filled out in that time period. The auditors were able to document $14,804.38 worth of claims for which Fu received reimbursement that he should not have, the prosecutor said. He was ordered to repay that amount before his two-year period of probation runs out. Fu had no previous criminal convictions. Fu was represented by Champaign attorney Scott Lerner. In return for his guilty plea to the theft charge, Fletcher dismissed two other charges of official misconduct and theft of government property. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler said Fu resigned effective February 17th. Two charged with sex crimes involving kids. An Urbana woman and a Georgetown man have been charged by federal authorities with alleged sex crimes involving children in Champaign County. Last week, a federal grand jury indicted Ian J. Dukes, 37, of Georgetown, and Julie P. Snyder, 43, who listed an address in the 400 block of West University Avenue, Urbana, on charges of enticement of a minor for allegedly using a cell phone and the internet between July 13th and 21st, 2019, to get a minor to engage in sexual activity. A grand jury handed down that charge last week, as well as three additional charges against Dukes: attempted sexual exploitation of a second child, sex trafficking of children, and receipt of child pornography. Those things were allegedly happened between July and September. Dukes was arrested February 11th and was ordered detained pending trial. Snyder was arrested Friday following the indictment returned March 5th by the grand jury. She appeared in court Monday and was ordered held for a tentative trial date in late April. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 1 for Thursday, March 12, 2020. Please stay tuned for Part 2.